the Medes and Persians have taken Babylon. So just kind of in context of the image that Daniel saw back in earlier in the book of Daniel, we're now at the chest of silver with the Medes and Persians. We've gone from the head of gold to the chest of silver. And the first five verses, I'm going to read the first five verses. We're going to talk about some things out of the first five verses. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the prince might give accounts to them, unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none, occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Question number one out of the books. We learn more from the first five verses, I think, of Daniel. We learned a lot about Daniel in chapter one and his character. Learn a lot about him. But in the first five verses, I think more is said concerning Daniel than the rest of the book combined. And that's what question one asks. What do we learn about Daniel from the first five verses? And there's a lot here. All right, he was a man of integrity. What else? Think about what Daniel is doing. What's his position? And we're going to bring it to the 21st century. What's his position? He's vice president. Put it in terms of that. He's vice president. So he's a politician, vice president. And what are people trying to find with him? What are they trying to do? They're trying to find a fault, some sort of corruption. Now think about it today. Politicians' lives are what? They're open. You don't hide anything. Everything is there, and you're in front of the public 24/7, 365. So these men are looking for something to bring a charge against Daniel to get him off his high pedestal. And what do they say? We can't find a single thing. I mean, I think about my own life. You could go into my past and find things I've done wrong. I'm sure everybody sitting in here, that would be the case. There are some things we're embarrassed to bring up. Thus the reason we're thankful for Christ. Because this never could be brought up. You know, I'm thankful for that. But if they wanted to, they could find things wrong that I've done that I'm embarrassed about. I don't want anybody else to know. They couldn't find that with Daniel. They couldn't find a single thing. Wow. That's amazing. And these just weren't like average people. Who were these people that were looking to try to find something wrong with them? They had money, they had power, they had position, they had everything. They weren't going to spare any expense. They couldn't find a single thing. That says a lot about him. What else is said about him in the first five verses? You know, that's interesting. You say that today in the state of Kentucky in education, the TEL survey came out, which is a survey done with educators. And we were asked, I don't know how many questions we were asked about a month ago, but it took like 20 minutes to fill this out. There were a whole bunch of questions. And then the results of that come out, and it's anonymous, and these results come out. And my principal, who's kind of, it's kind of strange, but he's one of my former wrestlers, is now my boss. He was down in the lunchroom and he was looking, and one of the last questions asked is, are you happy to work here? 97% approval. In other words, 90% of the teachers in the building said they were happy to work in this place. And one teacher, 3%, one teacher, that's just one teacher, said they weren't. And he was tore up by that. He wanted 100%. I'd have never heard of 100%. I just never heard of that before. And I told him that. I said, Jason, I said, you know, all but one. Think about how many people we have, like over 50 people, if you count the classified and certified, working in our building. And everybody but one, happy to be there, and put this in this anonymous survey. You always have one. Yeah. Except for who? Daniel didn't. Daniel didn't. That's amazing. That is amazing. Jacob?
I kind of think about earlier, you know, about Mark's comment and integrity. And thank you here, because we've seen this before, Daniel, with his commitment to God and how he could rise to the level that he rose to in the government with his character, all of his character intact.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very rare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's the key. And I'm going to ask, what is the key? What is the key from the first five verses that you see him standing and his integrity intact? What's the key, do you think, in those five verses? Yes.
His loyalty to God.
Yeah, verse 3. And remember I said this all goes back to chapter 1 and verse 17. And I think it does. You see in verse 3, I think a reference back to chapter 1 in verse 17. When you see God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. He not only had knowledge, but he had the commitment to follow through with what he knew to be right. That's what separated him. That's what made him the man that he was. And there's only two other men in the Old and New Testament that that is the case with, which is kind of interesting. Joseph and Jesus. Joseph and Daniel, as I've said before, there's not a single thing said negative about them in the Scriptures. That's why. He relied upon the knowledge God had, the skill and the learning and the wisdom that God gave, and he had a commitment to that. And he stood out. And then these men come together. They're looking for something. In verse 4, what is it they finally turn to in verse 5 that they can bring as a charge against Daniel? What is it they finally have to turn to? The law of his God. Yeah. They're going to have to turn to find something in his law. Now, why is it they turn and they say, we're going to have to look at the law of his God? Why is it? Which says more about Daniel's character. Because they knew he would not do what with the law of his God? He would not compromise. There would be no compromise with this man when it came to the law of his God. That's the only way they were going to be able to find something against him to bring as a charge against him. Boy, I'm telling you, there is so much said in these first five verses about Daniel. His character, as we've already said, he was very faithful, just as Joseph and was, and we've already made reference to. So let's talk about the plot against him, verses 6 through 8. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdoms and governors and princes, the counselors and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altered not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And so we see here them plotting against Daniel. And what is it they do to plot against Daniel? What is it they bring about?
It's really twofold. They start out by lying, saying we've all
What is it? And this is kind of interesting in what separates Daniel from all the others. And I think one of the great temptations to those who are leaders, what is it they appeal to with Darius? His ego. Have we seen that before in the book of Daniel? Kings and weaknesses, leaders, I should have their leaders and weaknesses. Did we not see a statue made by a king and a loyalty oath being administered? And how did that fare for three of the Jews? How did that fare for Nebuchadnezzar? And here we see, we want you to be God Almighty for 30 days. It's basically what they tell him. We want you to be the Almighty God for 30 days and to pray unto you. And anyone who prays to anyone else is going to be thrown into a den of lions. So we see here, what is it what is it these men are appealing to? And we see then Daniel's response in verse 10. And I want to talk about verse 10 for a while. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So we see here Daniel going, and we see his response praying unto his God. A few questions for you. Would Daniel have been wrong to have stopped praying? Yes. But here's what I am going to ask, and I want no response until I run through this little thinking process that I have here, and I want to ask a question. Would he have been wrong to close his window? Now think about this. What's not in the Old Testament? There is nowhere in the Old Testament, I've researched now for the past couple weeks on this, there's nowhere in the Old Testament where you have to pray three times a day. It is not a commandment. Nor is there a commandment that you pray towards Jerusalem. Now don't ask me why is it he's praying towards Jerusalem three times. It sounds like a Muslim. It does. I have no idea. Todd, you want to answer that question? Yes. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, he and I talked about this on Sunday. Okay. Okay. And there's nowhere that says you need to pray with your window open. Verse 10 indicates what? What does verse 10 indicate? I had it highlighted. I'll go back to it in here, and then I'll get to this. What is underlined there? It was his custom. It was a custom of Daniel's to do this. And verse 10 clearly indicates that it was a custom of his to do this. All right? It would not have been a sin to go against the custom. If you say it is a sin to go against the custom that he has established, then you've got to answer to me, how come the Pharisees are condemned for requiring those who would follow God to follow after customs? Jesus condemns that. He says, you make law the customs of men. Jesus says, that's not the case. You can't do that. So he would not have been sinning. And some would say, well, wait a second, he would be going against his conscience. Romans 14 is not in the Old Testament. It is in the New Testament, where if you go against your conscience, you're sinning. That is a New Testament teaching. So then, why does Daniel do this? He's not, as far as I can tell, he would not be sinning by closing his window. Kevin?
Maybe the room where he was before
Okay.
They didn't have air conditioning, so if you stood near the window, you could pray longer, but there's more comfort.
All right. Todd?
Then why he did it from the beginning, but he opened it this time because that's what he had.
Yeah, verse 9 indicates as soon as he learned that the decree was signed, he did this. So verse 9 indicates, as it sets it up for us, that he did this on purpose. Yes, at his appointed time. Verse 9 says that it is after he learns that this has been done. So he did this on purpose. Duke?
If he had changed his style and done these other things, he would have been compromising the faith. He would have changed it because of his decrees. That would have not set right, I think, with his demeanor. And I brought to mind 1 Corinthians 15:58. Would it be
steadfast, immovable?
So that would weaken himself, maybe not in his own eyes, maybe not in the eyes of God, but it would weaken him in the eyes of those that are trying to do something to him. And it would be compromised.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Now, his three friends, there's a difference. Yeah, but there's a difference, and I meant to bring this out. There is a difference between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's situation and this situation, and I meant to bring it out. Sorry, thanks for reminding me of that. What's the difference? There's a command. There is a direct command. You cannot do this. If they would have done it, they would have been in sin. So there is a difference between what they did and the reason why, I think, as opposed to Daniel and the reason he did. Theirs was a command. His is a custom. Any other thoughts? Now, I'm going to ask some other harder questions here in a second as a lead into this. And I don't have all the answers. I'll tell you that right now. I just want us to think about this.
You know, we as Christians, when it comes to gathering our midweek Bible study on a Wednesday night, because it says we have to do it on a Wednesday night. You know, we can meet every night if we want to, or a Tuesday or Monday or Thursday, but Wednesday's convenient because it's midweek. And if something interfered with that,
okay. All right. All right. Good thoughts. So here's my additional questioning with this. In Cuba, on Sunday mornings, Wednesday night tonight, we got in our car and drove straight here and came walking in, did we not? That's our custom. Am I right? If we were worshiping in Cuba, maybe down there on vacation, you'd have to walk down back streets, back alleys, hide, pretend like you're going somewhere else as opposed to worship service. You can't pray out in public. If you're in North Korea, if you're in China, you can't talk about the Word of God like you can here. Our custom is we can talk about it whenever we want. Can't worship there out in the open. Can't pray out in the open as is our custom. Would we be wrong then to not do those things in those countries? And what about those Christians in those countries? Are they wrong for not being willing to do that out in public? Yeah, it is. But it did make a difference. They had no choice. Yeah, they had no choice. Yes, he did. I believe he did.
I think the scripture shows And I know he means that in a,
metaphorical sense,
well,
right. Yeah.
But, think about that. I think about my faith compared to these men. It is no faith in comparison. And so I know I don't want to downplay what he did here, but
I'm not downplaying because we're talking about it here in just a second. The next question is, what do we learn from this? But yeah, Duke, then Kevin.
We find that Christ's crucifixion, where the disciples meet behind closed doors, because people have to persecute. So you do whatever you can to worship God within His realm of what God wants you to do. So we've got that example also.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Kevin.
I'm glad you're taking the time. It's probably not. I'm probably misunderstanding what you're doing because I missed last week with it. But I'm glad you're taking the time to discuss the custom, because churches every day across this country are busy fighting over traditions and customs, and they're dividing over traditions and customs because their faith and their knowledge of the word isn't what they need to be and what it needs. There are people that will worship tonight and be mad at others because the women are wearing pants, or the men don't have a tie, or they have their work clothes on still from coming to work, or whatever reason. Churches across the country are doing it. And sadly, because they're too focused on the tradition. I don't know if that's your point. I'm sure I'm off a little bit. But
no, I think that's a lesson. I don't have a point. I'm just bringing some things up and throwing them out for us to think about as to why Daniel did this, and to understand he didn't have to. He chose to do this. It was a decision on his part. But at the same time, I have sat in adult classes and people say that he would have been wrong to not pray with his window open to change and alter his behavior. And I don't think that's right. I think he would not have been in this case because it was not a commandment. It's a custom. And that's one of the lessons we can learn from it.
Well, and just another note on that. There's a lot of things out there. I've had to pray with a hat on because I couldn't take it off. Did God hear that prayer? I should hope so.
Oh, I think He did.
Because people get really focused on formalities and things, which I think are very important. Please don't ignore that I'm saying that. But there are exceptions.
All right. Mark?
I think it goes back to your second question about what we learned about his character. I think we learned the confidence that he had. He was so confident in his relationship that he had with God that he knew he could go back doing his daily things. And what he was doing daily was the right thing to do in his eyes. And he was so confident that he could go into prayer. God would be there for him, and no matter what situation he was thrust into, whether his eyes did or whatever, God was going to pull him. Wondering whether Daniel was there at the time. I thought about that a lot since then. I think maybe he possibly was, and that he had confidence that those three men were going to make the right decision and do what they had to do, and that God was going to pull them through and not let them get further from the fiery promise. I think it just shows, again, his character and his confidence in God and his relationship that he has with God.
Yep. Okay. Anyone else? What else can we learn? Todd? His choice.
It was his choice. I think what was important in regard to stress is that he continued doing what he had always done.
All right, I spent about 10 minutes on this. I'll make one final point and then move on. As I said, I don't have a slide next to show any main points that I have. Other than this, I think the key in my mind is found in verse 9. And we've already made reference of it. When wherefore King Sirius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew that this whole law was written and come about to bring a charge against him. He knew why this law was there. It was not just a law that was made by King Darius just for whatever reason. It was made, and he understood that it was made against him. This was a direct test for Daniel. And he knew that this was a direct test of his faith. And so I think in his mind, I don't know, this is the way I read verse 9 and 10, the first part of verse 10, is that he took it as a direct test of his faith, and he was going to make a statement that I have faith in God and I want everybody to know it. Todd? Well, I didn't want to say that at the beginning. That would have been it. There would have been no discussion. Reba?
I have wondered if King Darius had thought this all the way through.
Oh, he hadn't. His pride took over and his arrogance took over, and this is what you know, that's why they did appeal to his pride and arrogance. And we see that he's sad about it here in just a second. Jacob? That's the only thing they knew about him. Yeah, it's the only thing they could find fault with him. Yep.
And one of those things was that he did every day, at a certain time of the day, he went to God and prayed for Jerusalem. They knew that. That's kind of like clockwork. They had to follow it like clockwork, whether there was a law against it or not.
And they knew he wouldn't change. And they knew he wouldn't change. That's right. Adam? Oh, we'll take a look at it here in just a second. So it did work, as we've already indicated. I'm going to move a little forward here quickly. The governors went, as was indicated. I think Jacob read verse 11, found him praying, and the governors go to the king, remind him of what he had said, and reminded him that the decree was unchangeable. The decree it stands, he says. It cannot be changed. And then they bring Daniel's guilty. He ignores you. He's still praying three times a day to his God. Lessons that we could possibly learn from this is the godly lose in this life sometimes. Bad things do happen to good people. Was he deserving? Was Daniel deserving of this? Absolutely not. What had he done? What was the only thing that he did? He prayed. That's it. That's all he did, is he prayed. Sometimes also is that, well, not sometimes. The emphasis the whole way through the Bible is that we are to be looking towards the future. The king's response, then the king, when he heard these things, was sore displeased with himself. Now notice the emphasis there. We're going to come back to that in just a second in verse 14. He was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Darius is sorry. He is sorry. He's upset with himself, as he should be. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may change. Sometimes we make rash decisions, and the results that we regret them very quickly. Thus is the case with King Darius. Another lesson we can learn, and I do want to get through with chapter 6, as I got to finish chapter 6 tonight, is why did he make that decision? What was the basis for it? And what the reason was because of pride. That's the reason that all of this happens. Verse 16 then, the king orders that Daniel is to be cast into the lake of fire. But notice, it's interesting what he says in verse 16. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And I have it highlighted here, whom you serve continually. How did Darius know that? Because he knew Daniel. Because that's what Daniel did continually. That's what he did all the time. Darius himself knew that. That you serve him continually. All of the time. Goes back to the character of Daniel. Stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. And I like this, what's said in there. And that night the king could not sleep. Here's my question. How do you think Daniel slept? I think so too. It's interesting to note, Daniel's in the lion's den, but I really believe he had a good night's sleep. Yeah, they are, aren't they? The lions are soft and warm. It's interesting that Darius is in his palace and he can't sleep. But I think Daniel slept pretty well. I really do. I think he slept pretty well. Made mention of this. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. He called to Daniel in an anguished voice and said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue from the lion's den? Notice the two phrases there. Servant of the living God and whom you serve continually. How did Cyrus, and I should have Cyrus, it should be Darius. How does Darius know that? The living God. How did he know that? That's exactly right. How he knew that was from Daniel. What's that tell us then about Daniel and what he talked about with his boss, his king? Yeah. He was willing to talk about it with anybody. With anybody. Lessons, well, I think we have a bunch of lessons that we can learn from there. And I'd like to spend a lot more time on these lessons, but I spent too much time in verse 10 as we go through this chapter. And then continuing on, he says, O king, live, verse 22, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done any wrong before you, O king. Notice what I have highlighted there. What does that indicate to us about God and Daniel's relationship? That's exactly right. God was always a personal God to Daniel. Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good. Yeah. Is God a personal God to us? And I wanted to spend a few minutes, but I don't have enough time. What does it mean to have God? That'd be a good sermon. What does it mean to have God be your personal God? What does that mean? For God to be a personal God to us? He should be. But sometimes He's not a personal God to us. What does God need to be in our lives to be a personal God? God. The lion in our lives, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him and stand firm in the faith. How can God close the mouths of lions today? Question we'll end with. How can God close the mouth of the lions today for us? What do you think? Edna? All right. So does God close the mouths of lions today? Yes. But who has to put their hand on the mouth of the lion? We do. Is that not? James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. God will do his part, but what do we need to do? We need to resist. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, what does that say? God's going to provide a way of escape, but what do we have to do? We have to walk down that way of escape. That way of escape, though, may not be what? Pleasant, easy, but we've got to walk down it. It's there. The question is whether or not we're going to walk down it. Sometimes I think we want the angel to come for us and to carry us down that way of escape. That's not going to be the case. Sometimes we have to sleep with the lions. That's exactly right. Sometimes we have to sleep with the lions. As we read and study His Word, we gain His understanding on how to defeat our enemy. It goes back to verse 17 of chapter 1. What is it that separated Daniel from everybody else? His character. The knowledge and understanding. Remember, notice the phrase there in verse 17. I wish I had retyped it in. The understanding and wisdom. Daniel had the understanding and wisdom, that godly knowledge. How do we gain that today? And yeah, not only our window, but what else do we need to open on a daily basis? Our Bibles. That's something that we have to do that a lot of times we don't do. That godly knowledge and wisdom and understanding is there for every single one of us. Just like Daniel in chapter 1 and verse 17. And it says in chapter 1 and verse 17 that God gave him that. It doesn't say that it was a miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know what that may also mean? That Daniel and his friends had to do what for a while? Study the scrolls. I don't know how God gave it to him. Could have been a magical one. It could have been an indwelling. I don't know. Could have been also that those guys just started studying on their own and gained it. It's there for all of us. It's whether or not we want to take it. Thank you for your comments. Next week, Daniel chapter